Good morning. Would you stand, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can come into your house and for the privilege that we have to worship you. Lord, we thank you that yesterday we were able to celebrate our independence as a nation. Thank you for the years that you've given us. And Heavenly Father, we do lift this nation up to you. And God, we just pray that you would intervene in so many things that are going on in this country right now that are not right. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you today that we can worship and we have that freedom to worship. We thank you that our flag flies high. And Lord, we praise you today that you are our God and we're sheep in your pasture. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Like you may be seated. Would like to welcome our Facebook Live audience today, as well as you, the live audience today, into the worship services of Colorado Springs Baptist Church. Chris, lead us.
Good morning. Let's all stand as we sing today. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name. Jesus as my Savior, you take him to, while he's calling you. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Way beyond the blue. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing. With that.
Thank you, Jesus, that we were able to celebrate our independence and our freedom, Lord, in this great country, Lord, that you put us on. Lord, help us not to take that for granted, Lord. Help us, Jesus, to not take that for granted. Help us, Lord, to pray for the leaders of our country and to pray, God, that we look back to you, Lord, for all that we do to get this country going back in the right direction, Lord. Because, God, you are our only hope. I know, God, that one day, we don't know when, but one day you tell us you're going to come back and get your family of believers. Lord, I just pray for those, God, that haven't made the decision to join the family. They're the ones that are thinking they got more time. They're the ones that are pray today, God, that those people today, Lord, that you'd bind Satan from their life today, God. And that those people today, God, would make things right with you and become part of the family of God. Jesus, thank you, Lord, for putting us here. Thank you for watching over us and caring for us, Lord, through these difficult times. Be with our pastor as he comes to speak to us, Lord. Give him what he needs, Lord. Give him strength. Speak through him today, Jesus. I ask all this in your name. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up Joyce and Greg Ballard today. Lord, we pray that you'd minister to their needs. Lord, we pray that you would grant wisdom that they need. And Lord, we thank you that we can lift up our sick to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you know what's best for any of us. Father, we lift up Donna Yancey and her children as we've had that funeral this week of Lanny. We pray that you would comfort and strengthen them. And Lord, I thank you today that we can look to you and that we can walk by faith. And I thank you, Lord, that you know what tomorrow holds that none of us do. You know the length of our life that none of us know. You know what we will need tomorrow should you grant us that day. Heavenly Father, I just praise you today that you are our Creator, that you are our Redeemer, that you are our Savior, that you are our all, and without you, we're nothing. And without you, we can do absolutely nothing. Lord, we lift up this time of preaching to you. We ask you, God, just to take control. Help me say what you want said. And Lord, I pray if there's one here that's searching for an answer in life, that today they'll find the answer. God, you know those in this audience today that may be burdened about something. That may be hurting about something, that may have loved ones that are sick. You know those, God, in this county that are dealing with this coronavirus. And Lord, we realize today that we can't get control of the coronavirus. And that we as mankind can't stop it, but God, we're going to ask you to intervene. And we're going to ask you to bring it to a halt. Lord, we pray today for our president. Grant him wisdom that he needs today. We pray for our leaders in this county that you would grant them wisdom that they need today. And Lord, we pray that this turmoil and unrest in our community and in our state and in our nation would come to a halt and that common sense would be applied. We pray this in your name. Amen. I want to talk about the fact today that all men need Jesus. All men need Jesus. As you think about mankind today, what's he searching for? What is man searching for? Whatever it is outside of Jesus Christ, he finds no answer. And as I think about mankind today, I'm reminded of three men shown to us in the Scripture, and each of these three men had a need. Turn with me today to Matthew 19, verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What like I yet? And Jesus said unto him, and grab this, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. A man who had everything but the main thing came to Jesus. Well, what did he have? We can kind of sum that up as we read these verses. This man, I'm quite certain, had wealth based on what the scripture said. This man had youth. I believe this man had morality. This man lived in the upper edge of society. This man had stature in his community. He had a form of religion, but not Christ. He even had good sense. Good sense. He asked Jesus, What must I do to inherit eternal life? That's good sense. Verse 21, Jesus said to him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. This young man was offered a Savior. This young man was offered a cross. The cross would be giving up his money. Why did Jesus ask him to do that? Because Jesus knew this young man loved his money. And he knew he loved his money with all of his heart. So Jesus gave him a cross to bear. You know what he did? He said no. He said no. His money stood between him and the Savior. And Scripture says that he went away sorrowful. He left Jesus with an empty life, and his need was not met. That's one man described in the Scripture. And then I think about a man named Jairus, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. Beginning reading with verse 40. Verse 40 in the book of Luke. Chapter 8, Luke 8, verse 40. And it came to pass when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they all were waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. And then I want you to go on down, beginning reading with verse 49. And while he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Can you imagine being told that? You've gone to seek Jesus because your daughter is at the point of death, and Jesus is restrained by some of the crowds there, if you'll read the rest of those verses. And then he gets the message, Thy daughter is dead, don't trouble the master. And when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed. But he said, Weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. Keep reading. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Who was this man named Jairus that went to Jesus with this daughter near death? Who was he? Scripture said he was a leader in the synagogue. Scripture says that he fell down at the feet of Jesus and pleaded with him to come to his house. He had this daughter that was 12 years old at the point of death. And oh, he was searching for an answer. Scripture says in verse 49, while he yet spake, Jesus, there cometh one from the synagogue's house, saying unto him, Jairus, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. Can you imagine getting that message? Jesus responded to Jairus, and he said, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And then we read further in the scripture where Jesus went to his house. He found this daughter. Jesus told him that he was going to give life to her, that she was not dead. And we had this crowd sitting over there that was laughing. And they made fun of Jesus and they mocked. They looked at it as being impossible. Could I say to you that rising from the dead is possible? You know what? When I stand by a graveside, and I stood by another one this week, thank God that I could preach a funeral and stand there in the committal part of that service and say to those folks that are kin to me, oh, there's going to be a resurrection one day. There's going to be a resurrection. Our loved ones are going to rise that are saved by His grace and meet Jesus yonder in the clouds, my friend. There's going to be a resurrection. Oh, my. Well, Jesus went to the man's house. He healed his daughter. I want to tell you something about this man, Jairus. He was satisfied and he was astonished and happy as he contemplated what Jesus had just done. What a need that he had in his life. Could I say to you that this same Jesus desires to meet needs in man's lives today? Could I say to you that when he meets a need, it's fulfilling and it's lasting? Then I thought about a third man. In the book of Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, a third man, a blind man, a man named Bartimaeus. In Luke 18 verse 35, and it came to pass that he was coming nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Can't you hear him crying out amongst the crowd of people that were making all that noise? And he cried out, and he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out so much more, thou son of David, have mercy on him. What was they telling this man named Bartimaeus? You need to shut up. Bartimaeus, you need to shut up. You need to be quiet. But he cried out the more, Jesus, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come nigh unto him, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Grab the rest of this verse. Thy faith hath saved thee. And he immediately received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. A man named Bartimaeus went to Jesus, a blind man, a beggar who sat by the wayside begging. You see, in that day, there was certainly no cure for a blind man. And he had to depend on somebody else to lead him where he might think he needs to go. And he had to depend on somebody to get him there on the side of the road and take him there so that he could beg for his means. Wasn't any welfare systems in that day. Wasn't any government checks in that day. And so he would go and lay by the roadside begging. Can you get a picture of that blind man in that day? You know what? He had no hope. He was poor. He was humiliated. He was a social outcast. He was in total darkness, couldn't see a thing. And the only place that he could go was where someone took him and laid him there. You see, his only hope was in a man named Jesus. Kind of interesting when you think about it, because the only hope that mankind has today is the same answer. It's Jesus. Picture the scene as he sat by the wayside begging. He heard all kinds of commotion. He heard all kinds of people walking and talking and doing the things that crowds of people do. And he asked what it meant. Look at verse 36 again. And he asked what it meant. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. What did he do? What did he do? Verse 36. Read it again. And hearing the multitude pass by, asking him what it meant, they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. This blind man had heard about Jesus, and he believed reports about him. So he knew who Jesus was. He might not have known a lot, but he knew that Jesus could touch him and bring sight to him. And he began to cry out immediately. Hope had risen in his heart. Hope had risen despite the fact that he couldn't see. Hope had risen. The opportunity of his life stared him in the face. Oh, he knew who Jesus was. Do you? Is the opportunity of life staring you in the face, Jesus of Nazareth? And if so, what have you done with him? Note that the blind man acknowledged Jesus a Messiah. He said, Jesus, thou son of David. It was the title of the Messiah. It was an inadequate concept of Jesus, although it was a true fact. He was the son of David, predicted from the beginning. But he was more. He was the Son of God himself. I want you to note something in these verses. This blind man approached Jesus with what knowledge he had. He used what he understood, and he cried out to Jesus, have mercy upon me. My friend, listen. You don't have to be a theologian to come to Jesus. All man has to do is use the knowledge that he has and call out to God. Have you called out to him? You know what Isaiah 55 and 6 says? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Bartimaeus cried out for mercy. Oh, he was blind physically. He was poor materially. But the basic needs of his life was not his primary concern. He cried out. He wanted the mercy of God upon his life. What was his concern? Look at verse 39. And they which went before rebuked him. He should hold his peace. But he cried out the more, thou son of David, Have mercy. Have mercy. Bartimaeus had persistence. He had persistence. Jesus was his only hope. I want you to think about something. You know what mankind says today? Mankind says today, why don't you try this? And another group says, won't you try that? My friend, man's only hope in 2020 is Jesus Christ. That's what men need to try. I want to read verse 40 again. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath made thee whole. I want you to notice three things. His persistence caused Jesus to stop and to stand still. Jesus heard his cry. Jesus looked around. There was silence. The cry came, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And in verse 41, Bartimaeus asked for a great thing to be done. He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. In verse 42, Jesus granted him his request, and even more, he gave him his eyesight. But he also saved his soul. Saved his soul. You know what verse 43 says? After all of that, it says that Bartimaeus followed Jesus. Immediately, he followed Jesus. My friend Bartimaeus went from darkness to light. He went from begging to following Christ. He went from crying to praising the Lord. Yes, all men need Jesus. Is he your Savior? Oh, he's waiting for you to call upon him. What are the lessons of life that we can learn from these three men, the rich man, Jairus, Bartimaeus? What are some lessons you and I can take home from this? First of all, be humble. God has a work that he desires to do in you. And you may not understand it. You may not understand the work that he's doing in your life, but he has a work that he desires to do in you. Second thing, don't let the crowd stop you from responding to Jesus. There's been many a person that looked at the crowd in the church, and all of a sudden fear came over them, and they walked out the back door rather than coming to Jesus. Don't let the crowd stop you from responding. Don't let money stop you from being saved. Don't let money. There's a fourth thing, let go of the past. Let go of the past. There's a fifth thing. Accept his healing physically and spiritually because all men need Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we pray today. If there's one in this Facebook Live audience, or if there's one in this live service today that needs Jesus, that today, right where they are, they would cry out to Jesus to save their precious soul. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.